Hey everyone, today's guest is Mariana Hewitt, the co-founder of Summer Fridays, the skincare brand that is like something I'm deeply addicted to. I was going to make a bad comparison, but I'm keeping it PG-13 here for you guys. Mariana first launched her product, the Jet Lag Mask, which is the ultimate multitasking product for busy lives. It's won major awards. Prior to that, her career started with inadvertently launching a YouTube video, which went viral back when she thought the key to success was being the next Oprah. So take a listen. We dive into how she launched a business, the things to look out for, the minefields to avoid, and has a wealth of advice and positivity. I am so excited to talk to you, Mariana. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you were on mine too.
I know. It's going to be fun. A double header, I like to call it. So I wanted to start with how you got started. I don't know if what the internet says is always true, so I thought I'd cut directly to the source. But you were an early adopter in technology, starting on YouTube back when that was still Sketchville, like I did on Snapchat. Will you tell me a little bit about how that path started for you? And then we'll dive into your company and all the good stuff.
Yeah. So when I grew up, and I still do, I have this obsession with Oprah, like many of us do. And so I loved what she was doing on TV, and she had Oprah's Favorite Things. And I also would like come home from school every day and watch like MTV TRL. And I like loved the VJs on TV. And I was like, oh my gosh, these people are amazing. Like, how can I get a job like this? Like, how can I be a host on TV? How can I have Mariana's Favorite Things? And so I thought, I need to go to school for broadcast journalism. I need to be a news anchor. And as I was going through this process in college, I was like, okay, news isn't for me. I still want to be a television host. And my parents were like, you know, being a TV host is not a realistic job. You need to have a backup career. And so I was like, okay, my backup can be PR. And so when I was in college, I interned doing public relations at a hospital, which is not very fun. And when I got out of college, that was actually the first job that I got, was doing entertainment public relations in Los Angeles. And when I was taking all of these celebrities to their interviews, I still was like, I want to be the one interviewing them. And this is pre-Instagram, pre-social, pre-even YouTube at this time. And so I would work during the week. I would work at my PR job. I didn't make a lot of money. So nights and weekends, I would work at a sushi restaurant. I was a hostess. And then one weekend a month, I would take hosting classes because being a host is much different than a TV news anchor. And so you needed to have a different type of reel. And to create a reel, you needed to have gotten jobs, but you can't book a job without a reel. And so it was like a catch-22. So in my TV hosting class, I was filming like fake clips to create a reel. And to have this reel to send to people to go on auditions, I started a YouTube channel. And I uploaded my fake reel to this YouTube channel just so I could try to get auditions, to try to get jobs as a TV host. And since I started this YouTube channel to send this link, I posted a makeup tutorial. And this is in 2012. And I posted my first makeup tutorial then. And the reason why I had a channel was just to send this link to people to hopefully get a job. And that's really where it all started.
So you posted this link. It went viral.
Yeah. And so I was working at the time. So in that process of, you know, hosting and doing YouTube, I had gotten my first full-time job doing entertainment news. And then I pivoted to fashion and beauty news. And so I was working at the same time as I was starting this YouTube channel and social. And so by 2013, I had started on Instagram. By 2014, I had started my blog. And by then it was, you'll remember, it was like very early days of Instagram. It was like so not legit. Brands would message me. They would pay me $50 via PayPal to post something on my Instagram feed. And eventually I kept getting enough of these $50 that it ended up being like a good source of like side income for me. And by spring of 2014, I thought, well, maybe I could do this full time. And I reached out to this woman who I found online who was representing bloggers. I didn't even know bloggers had managers. And I was like, I recently started an Instagram account. I have a blog. I have a YouTube channel. Would you be interested in representing me? She was like, let me take a look at your stuff. She did. She was like, you know, it's really early, but I see a lot of potential. She was like, I would love to. So she ended up signing me. And because she could basically give me the incoming jobs that other people would pass on, I ended up getting enough money to become an influencer full-time. And I've been doing it full-time since 2014.
That's incredible. You know, one of the things that I get that annoys me is people are like, oh, so you had some luck. And I'm like, no, I had a little bit of a door that had a crack open and I fucking kicked it open. And I would say the same to you. You had a video go viral. You know, you didn't know it was going to go viral. You had a different purpose, but then you said, okay, I'm going to stick with this. I'm going to go forward with it and expand my avenues. So what do you think back then led you to go, I'm going to do this. No one else is doing this. It's a little weird. It's a little sketchy. People are paying you on PayPal. But what was in your gut that said, okay, I'm on the right path?
I think for me, seeing that it's possible always inspires me. And even if it's only one person, and that's why I think people having podcasts and writing books and like female founders and businesswomen sharing their careers openly and honestly is what makes me believe that anything is possible. And so at the time, there was really only a handful of people like Michelle Phan, Christelle Lim, Ami Song, Sincerely Jules. Like really, there's like a couple bloggers and a couple YouTubers. And because I saw like a less than 10 people doing this as a job, I thought, I went to school for journalism. I worked in PR. I know how to create video content. I know how to write. These are all of the things that I've done as a job since I've graduated from college, just on the internet. And then instead of going to an audition and hoping somebody hires me, I can create the content for myself and put it online with no barrier of somebody needing to give me a job. And so I thought, I can do this for myself because I see a couple other people are just barely starting to do this. It's not even like an influencer business like it is today. And that led me to believe I could do this, even though it seemed impossible. And when I told my parents I was going to do this, they were like, what? You went to college to do the internet for a career? Like they could not understand. Like they're like, I thought you were doing your dream job. I thought this is what you wanted to do. And my parents are much older. Like my dad is in his 80s. So he was literally born in like the Great Depression. Like he didn't even have a phone in his house. So for me to explain to him that I'm like doing my job on the internet was like mind blowing. And now they really accept it and are open to it. But I think seeing people who have the same career that you hopefully want to aspire to is so important for people to see. And that's why I love to like highlight so many different types of jobs, because I want people to know whatever you want to do is possible.
For sure. I remember my North Star was a woman who had an incredible handbag company that I was like, oh, that's the it contemporary handbag designer. That's the business I want to have. And in seeing that, I was like, oh, it's possible, you know? So I love that you say that, you know, those examples sort of lit a fire under you. So you had and have, you know, an incredibly successful career as an influencer. What made you go, I want to get into the business of making stuff? And how did you know that you wanted to launch Summer Fridays?
So I never thought that I would be a businesswoman. Like I never thought I would be an entrepreneur someday, but I did always have this like gut feeling inside of me since I was little, like I was meant to do something big and I was meant to create something that was like a part of people's lives. And I just didn't know in what way it would manifest itself. You know, at first it was through content and then it was like through physical goods and products. And so when I was, you know, starting to become an influencer and posting stuff online, I found that people would ask me questions like, is this cruelty-free and vegan? Is it at this price point? Can I buy it at this place? And it was almost like a focus group without even knowing that that's what I was doing at the time. And so I was getting all this data from different people. And when they would ask me for specific things, I would say, okay, it's this, but not this. It's this and not this thing. And I was like, why can't I just create the thing that everybody's asking for? At the time, it's same when I was early to Instagram, there was not a lot of influencer-founded brands yet. So Lauren is my business partner and co-founder. We started working on the brand in 2016. So it's been, you know, over 5 years now that we've been working on Summer Fridays. And we wanted to create products because we wanted to create them for our community to give them exactly what they wanted. It's similar to you. Like we have a two-way relationship with our customer. And at the end of the day, like everything we do is for our customer. If it's not for them, what are we even doing it for? Because we want them to want to buy and buy into the brand and the things that we're creating. And so we dreamed up our first product, which was jet lag mask, because Lauren was very early pregnant at the time and her jet lag was like being exhausted as a new mom and going through pregnancy and postpartum. And my jet lag was from being a really busy influencer and flying all over the place. And we created this product. And then from years of being an influencer, we knew kind of a approximate price point people would shop. It was like really data driven. So, you know, platforms like Reward Style gave us so much information on where she would click, how often she would buy, like what kind of, you know, products does she like and resonate with the most. And so for us, our dream retailer was always to launch in Sephora. And so we really created everything along the way, hoping it would launch there, but not knowing if it actually would. And we were going to launch in January of 2018. And in December of 2017, we had went to Sephora in San Francisco to go pitch our brand. And they ended up wanting to carry us. And we ended up launching and pushing our launch back a few months because then they added additional quantities and we had to produce a little bit more. And so we launched there in March of 2018. And it's just been a crazy ride ever since.
It's definitely a crazy ride. And I would love to hear what happened in those first few months that were that you were totally unprepared to handle. And how did you guys overcome them? Because I feel like when you do start up a company, it's you and Lauren, you know, it's not like you guys probably had a big staff of 20 people to help you. And I was shipping my own stuff and running my own credit cards and doing it all. So what were those first few months like? And what was like a big challenge that you're like, oh shit, I did not see this coming.
I think for a lot of people now, they're kind of a little confused of different ways you can start a business. So you can start a business yourself and you can self-fund it. You can start a business and raise money ahead of time, which helps you get through a certain phase. Or there's some people, either influencers or celebrities, who choose to partner with a parent company. They can plug into their systems. They already have a team of people and it bypasses a lot of that initial work. And there's pros and cons to each scenario. For our scenario, we started it ourselves. So there was no parent company. There was no anybody helping us run the business. It was literally like Lauren and I and like two consultants because we couldn't afford full-time people yet. And so the benefit of that is we learned a little bit about every department. We learned a little bit about operations. We learned about, you know, we were the international salespeople for a long time. Like we were the ones, you know, directly talking with our international, you know, retailers. And that was a learning curve for us because regionally people operate so different and it's so disconnected in every part of the country and like what people want to order. And so at the very beginning, we learned so many roles. And now as our company has scaled and grown, we're still a small team and a new company, but we know a little bit about everything, which I think has been so helpful as we grow. A plus and minus at the beginning is when we had launched at Sephora, we sold out. And we sold out on our website and we sold out on Sephora. We only had one product, which was Jet Lag Mask. And that sounds great, like sold out, like really cool for the first day. And then you have no product to sell. Right. And if you're a new company, like those purchase orders and sales on your website are your lifeline. Like you need that cash. And so it was such a balance of trying to hurry up as fast as we could to print more tubes, to fill more tubes, to get more in stock, to get another purchase order from retailers. So we bounced back and forth between us being in stock and our retailer being in stock for a little bit. And it was, you know, our lead times are like months in advance to get tubes printed. And so as fun as it sounds to sell out, it's definitely an issue. Because you need that money if you haven't raised any money, like you need that cash for your business. So that was difficult. So now I think we've learned a little bit more about inventory planning and, you know, what raw materials can we buy ahead of time so that we don't get in a position where we're waiting for one thing where we can't like restock because we're waiting on an ingredient. So there were so many learning lessons from there. And I think for us too, another learning lesson was we launched with, which is now still like a bestseller for us. And that difficulty is every launch after that lives up to this first best selling launch. And so if something doesn't do as well, it almost seems like it's a failure, but it's not. It's just because our first one was successful, which is a really hard place to be because you become really hard on yourself. You're like, how can I repeat this same magic again? And you're trying over and over again. And it just makes things really difficult, but exciting.
Totally. I feel like we've always compared ourselves back to our largest order and it's sometimes a slippery slope to compare yourself just to that one high because then everything else always seems like womp womp.
Mm-hmm. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So how do you divide your time now? Because I'm sure like people ask me like, wow, you have a podcast and you're a designer and you have a family. Like, how do you sort of go, okay, today's Mariana Hewitt's day, today's Summer Fridays day. Like, how do you prioritize your time?
I will say pre-pandemic, there was no balance. There was no like schedule. And we still have a small team, but we had really a small team then. And I think like, you know, entrepreneurship is definitely over romanticized and it's dreamy and it's all these things, but it's also really hard. And it comes with sacrifice, especially in the first few years of your business. And when you're trying to have, you know, multiple jobs at the same time to balance it all. And so pre-pandemic, there was no balance for me. I was kind of just doing any and everything. And then we slowly started hiring more people. And the only reason I have the ability to still be an influencer, do the podcast, do Summer Fridays now is because there are teams in place in each area where I am able to do that. And so, you know, as founders and as forward-facing founders, we get a lot of the credit. We also get a lot of the slack when things don't go great. We're the ones that take the blame for it. And it's our businesses. So I totally understand that. But there is an amazing team of people, especially at Summer Fridays, who make the business run every single day. And I would not be able to do the things that I do. Lauren would not be able to do the things that she did if it wasn't for this amazing group of people who we did this meditation last week. And I was like, I can't believe that we have employees who just want to like spend their time every day for our dream and brand and vision and that they love it and feel so proud to work here. So that's how that's possible. And then how I spend my days, I feel like on my podcast, every like highly successful, busy person, I was like, what do you do? And everyone was telling me how they either stack their tasks or stack their days by specific types of work. So I started implementing that a few months ago and I still do it now. And it has changed my schedule, my life. It helps me so much. So Mondays is Summer Fridays heavy. It's all of our like product development meetings, marketing, like any calls and interviews and stuff that we have to do together with Lauren and I, because with the two of us as founders, it's easier to know that we have one day where everyone can put everything in one day for us. Tuesday for me is podcast heavy. So I record with guests. I record on other people's podcasts. I prep for episodes. I edit next week's. Wednesday is my influencer day. So I know that's the day I need to like get up, do my hair and makeup and like shoot any kind of content that I need to, because what was happening before is I was switching between different tasks and then it was too difficult for me and I wasn't getting everything done. Thursday, I leave like open and flexible. And Friday, I do not take any meetings and any phone calls. I am like a very creative person and I am very affected by my environments, whether it's the people I'm around, the space that I'm in, the weather that I see. And I need to allow myself that time to be inspired or else I can't create product or content if I'm not feeling motivated by whatever my surroundings are. And so Fridays, I allow myself that time so that on the weekend, I can actually enjoy my time off, because I realized having that weekend off to myself to actually not work made me more productive for the week. I don't need to work 7 days a week to be highly productive. I need to work 5 really, really good days and have 2 days off on the weekend to not work to be my best self again on Monday.
I think it's so incredibly important what you just said about those boundaries. And I talk about it in my book, like it's not about balance. It's about the boundaries that you have to keep yourself sane and to keep yourself centered. So I love that you highlighted that. So let's talk about struggle. Was this last year hard? What did you do to not only personally sort of keep yourself from falling apart, but also business-wise? What did you have to do to pivot and stick around? Luckily, everyone was worried about their faces and skincare, yeah. So you might not have had a difficult time. But
I think we all had a really difficult time. It's just like, you know, everybody's difficulties are really different. We are a growing brand and with that comes a lot of growing pains. And, you know, a lot of them people don't see forward facing, but like internally, there's so many things that you go through all the time and it's so difficult to navigate. And I would say like the best thing for us is Lauren and I don't have an ego in our business. We know that there are things that we know how to do And there's things that we definitely don't know how to do and we want to hire for those other skills. Like, so in, oh my gosh, it's been like a year and a half now. We hired a CEO at the beginning of last year. He started in April of last year. And we are like so thankful for him all the time because it was just as the pandemic was starting. We didn't know that the last, you know, year and a half and ongoing now would be what it was. And I don't know that we would have been able to navigate it as a new brand without the guidance of somebody knowing the things that we didn't know how to do. And it's okay if you start a business or whatever it is you're doing, if you don't know how to do something, there is no ego in finding people that know how to do something better than you and learning from them and being complimentary to them. And so we have a very complimentary skill set. And so professionally, that's kind of how we managed to get through the last year and a half. And then he also taught us a lot about leadership and company culture and how to do that digitally because we hired a lot of people in the pandemic, some of whom I haven't even got a chance to meet yet in person, but it was really important for us to just have some sort of company culture via Zoom online during like, you know, not overdoing it with like the Zooms, but being able to have like monthly town halls where everyone can share and we can talk and connect with each other to feel like it's more than just work all the time. And then we also gave everybody summer Fridays. We've extended our summer Fridays for a few more months because we know it's really difficult for people to continue to work from home when you're connected to your computer and devices all day. So giving them that Friday afternoon to log offline, to have some time for themselves. And that self-care was something that I really prioritized for myself. And I realized before, the same like you, we were so busy and traveling and gone all the time. It was so go, go, go that finally when I had a chance to sit down, I was like, oh, I really enjoy, not being rushed. I enjoy like sleeping in my bed and being at home and having the schedule. And so I created a morning routine for myself and it's something I've still kept as part of my routine. And having that start to my day that's not just like opening my eyes and instantly answering an email has made me more productive in my day. So something I did for myself was that. So I picked up meditation. I journal every morning now. I do like a little stretch. It takes me about an hour to do everything, but I feel like it really sets me up for my day.
You know, what I love about what you're saying is I felt too that I was on this hamster wheel that I couldn't get off. And I would look around me and be like, oh, it must be nice. That person's off the hamster wheel. But it, you know, it took the pandemic to get off of it, to be like, okay, how do we want to go back to work? How do we want to show up? What's best for our team and our staff and that freedom that I was craving but didn't know how to achieve? Because if we got off the wheel, then other people would be more successful if they kept working. And part of what I feel like you're saying is taking the risk to just change it and then seeing it work for the better, you know, when it could be scary to say, I'm going to take an hour to myself every morning to do this versus go straight to email.
Yeah. And I think having that time, like, I think what happened was one week, I used to always answer emails on the weekend. And one weekend, I'm like, I'm just not going to answer emails this weekend. If something's urgent, someone will text me or call me if there's something that I need to do. And then Monday came around and there was no emergency. Nothing happened. All my emails were still there. And I was actually recharged and rested to work again on Monday because I actually took the time off. And even with, you know, with our work, we ask people not to send emails outside of working hours to save them as drafts, because even if somebody's not working, they'll still kind of glance at the email, and then email and work is on top of mind for them at night when they should be relaxing, and to set your Slack away messages and not to text people, to keep like communication, like Slack and email. So we try to be respectful. Obviously there's, you know, things come up sometimes, but we try to be really respectful of everyone's boundaries and communication limits. So you don't feel so connected to work all the time because everyone wants to have a life outside of work.
Totally. So what is something that was surprising to you as like, oh, I love this about having my own company? And what was something that was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is what it means to have my own company?
Ooh, surprising to me, something that I love is it's more than just a skincare product. Like when it comes to your skin, and it can change how you feel and your confidence. That is so meaningful because you can go through your day just feeling so much better about yourself. And there's one specific message that really stood out to me. And it was a woman who was getting married and she felt really insecure about the bumps on the back of her arms. And she bought one of our products. She used it on her arms. It cleared up her skin and it made her feel confident on her wedding day. And to think that we could create something for somebody to feel their best self on a really important day for them was so important for us. And it's like, okay, we're doing more than just creating these products. It really changes how people feel. And I love hearing these stories of like how, you know, it really affects people more than just, you know, when they wash their face in the morning. A difficulty is it's basically just never ending. There's no end goal because you just like continue to do the work every day. So like there's highs of the days where it's like a product launch where you get really excited and a new thing comes out, but then you just have to do the work every day. Like you have to continue selling that same product over and over again forever. So like, how do you continue that marketing? How do you support and market your best sellers and your hero SKUs and the core products that you have while still innovating and creating new products and supporting the new launches? Supporting retail versus direct to consumer is really difficult. Growing on different platforms, there's only so much capacity that a small team has to be on TikTok and Instagram and YouTube and then using marketing assets for like digital ads. And so I think having a business is just never ending. And so I think if you're thinking about starting a company, you have to not only just like the thing that you want to make, like I love skincare. So yes, I love skincare, but like, do you want to run a business? Like, do you want to run a company? Do you want to manage people? Because that's what you're doing every day. Like you might love the thing that you're creating, but like every day you're still working. It's still a job. So you have to really, really love it. And I think another thing too, is like the misconception of once you start a brand or business, like everything's all good, you're instantly successful and you have a lot of money. That's not the case either. You have a team of people and every time you make a little bit more money, that money goes towards hiring another person or building more people out or like having an office space or needing to grow your office space. So even though you're selling more stuff, the expenses just get higher. So that's not more money in your pocket. It's more money to cover more things that you need to run the business just day to day.
Yes. I wish the people that I'll never forget, I was working one of our sample sales. This was many years ago. I was literally running the credit card and the gentleman was like, must be nice to be Rebecca Minkoff. I bet she's pocketing all this cash. And I wanted to look up and be like, you have no idea. We are doing this sample sale so we can keep the lights on. And I'm running the credit card machine because we don't have anyone to be able to hire. And my husband is like, he graciously offered to help. And it's just funny because people assume that, again, it all goes into your pocket, but it goes so much into running the business, which
is expensive.
Running a business is expensive. It is expensive. So I love to ask my guests the same two questions, and I love always hearing the answers. But is there a piece of advice that you would love to pass on, either personal or professional, that you either learned the hard way or someone gave to you that you're like, actually, that was helpful advice?
One piece of advice that I thought was really helpful was when you start, always think big. You don't really know where your company is going to take you, but if you put the right systems in place as if you're going to be this really big company or as if these things will happen, it will be easier if you do the more difficult work now to scale than to get bigger and have to change a lot of things later down the line. And I thought that was really helpful because there were some things at the beginning that seemed like kind of overkill. Like we're so small, like do we really need to be going through all these extra steps or spending this extra money? But it's kind of like the foundation of a house. Like you build the foundation of the house really strong. So as you grow, everything else can stand above it. And that was great advice for us. And then also to stop and celebrate the small wins because there seems to always be like some problem or something going wrong or an issue. And so those things all happen and that's going to happen forever. Like nobody's business runs smoothly every single day. But if you actually stop and celebrate like, oh my gosh, today's launch was incredible or like this amazing award happened, like don't just like glance over it as fast as like one Instagram story. Like it's a really big deal to launch a product. It's a really big deal to keep the brand going for another year to celebrate that another year anniversary. Like there's so many brands that don't make it to that point. And so really stopping to celebrate those. And then a quote that I really like is, don't miss out on something great just because it could also be difficult. So if you're thinking about doing something, don't let the fear of it being hard stop you because sure, it will be hard, but it could also be great.
I can't underline what you said enough. I think as much as people feel their failures and wallow in them, we need to celebrate the wins because that's the whole point of doing this. And so I love that you said that. Last and final question, what would we be surprised to know about you?
I would say I'm like a tech nerd. Like I love technology. I love everything with like computers and phones. Like I want to ask Apple, like, do they want to hire me? Can I like consult for them? Like, is there something I can do more with like phones? And so I wouldn't be surprised if at some point in time in my life, I'm not currently working on anything, that I did something with tech, because it's something I just get so excited about. And I always want to be the first person to buy a technology, or if there's a new app or something that comes out, like I want to be the one to test and try it. Like, let me try it in beta testing. Like I'll give you my honest feedback. And so that's something that I really like love and enjoy doing. I remember when I was in kindergarten, my dad got a computer, and this was before people had computers at home. It was like you had them at school or something. And I learned how to type really fast. And I remember getting to kindergarten and taking typing classes. And I was like, killing it with my like words per minute. And like my teachers couldn't believe how fast it was. So I think it's been ingrained in me ever since I was little.
You know what? I tell my kids every time they hear other people talking about, well, I got to get into this school and this school. And I was like, buddy, the most important thing you're going to learn in high school is how to type. And if you can type really well, you'll be really successful. And my husband's like, please stop it. Please don't distill all the goals into typing. But I'm like, it's what I got out of high school. That's like the best thing I could have done.
Definitely.
Well, thank you so much for being on here. And how can people support and follow you?
You guys can follow me at @Mariana_Hewitt. You can listen to my podcast, Life with Mariana, every Tuesday. We've got an episode together. Everyone could hear from you anywhere you listen to podcasts, Apple, Spotify. You can shop Summer Fridays at summerfridays.com, Sephora, and almost anywhere if you find it online. You're able to buy it all over the world.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I just wanted to thank you guys for listening to today's episode. I also want to ask you to rate and review the show wherever you listen to podcasts. I know it's a pain in the butt, but it actually helps with search and algorithms. So if you love this podcast, it is an easy way to get it more visible and out there. I also want you to follow me on Instagram @RebeccaMinkoff, @RMSuperwomen, and be sure to check out my book, Fearless, The New Rules for Unlocking Creativity, Courage, and Success. Thank you again, and you will hear from me next week.